give you guys the background about Surah Al-Asr, we're going to have to step back a little bit and start from Surah Al-Adiyat and go all the way to Surah Al-Fil to appreciate why the nesting of Surah Al-Asr is the way it is. So first of all, what is Al-Asr? Who knows one of its meanings? Prayers, Al-Asr is one of the prayers, that's correct. What's another meaning of Asr?
Time.
Time? So Asr carries multiple meanings. And in this context, the one that's most popular in the translation is time. So Allah will take an oath by time, and also some of the ulama made the translation of Salat al-Asr, the time of Asr, which is the one before Maghrib, the hours of al-Nahar before Maghrib, according to, I believe, Lisan al-Arab. One of the dictionaries. So, why did we do last week of Duha? We talked about the early morning, that hope, and the night. Now we move to another oath about time, which is Al-Asr. Now these beginnings of oath, of time, we always said the beauty of the oath is it tells us we have to look for the answer of the oath. So we said, well, Duha, wallahi idha saja, ma wada, the answer of the oath. So what is the answer of the oath of Al-Asr in Surah Al-Asr? Who knows what the answer is? What's the answer? Allah says, oh, verily by time, innal insan lafi khusr. So mankind is like in a loss. In a loss. Now, I wanna, before I go into Surah Al-Asr, I'm gonna step back. I'm gonna give you two trappings of the surah. The surah, what's the surah before Surah Al-Asr? Surah Al-Takathur. So Surah Al-Takathur begins with Al-Hakum Al-Takathur. This idea of distractions that is increasing. And in this surah, Allah will describe that you latarawunna Al-Jaheem. You will see hellfire. That's the surah before Al-Asr. The surah after Al-Asr is, there's a description of hellfire. What is the description of the hellfire after Surah Al-Asr? There's a word there that is unconventional for Jahannam. Crusher, Hukama. So, in the surah before it, you're seeing Jahannam. In the surah after it, you're inside the crusher. So Allah describes Jahannam, the one that crushes bones, that crushes everything. Unless you enter Jahannam. So pray it, you're looking at Jahannam. After, you're inside the crusher. And Surah Al-Asr is nested in these two scenes. Yes, go ahead. I don't know if Indiana Jones will exist in Jahannam. I think it will be more. Jahannam is way more than Indiana Jones. So the idea of crushing is a scene that you, when you hear it, you want to avoid. And the idea of the Tarawunna al-Jaheem is you see hellfire. You see hellfire. And the surah before that is Al-Qari'ah. And Allah will ask Al-Qari'ah. Ma Al-Qari'ah? وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةِ Allah will ask you about Al-Qari'ah as one of the names of Judgment Day. So in this scene we have Judgment Day, then you are seeing Jahannam, and then you are inside the crusher. And Allah says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Look at that initial feeling. So some people ask, how do I get khushu' in a salah? No, when Allah says, وَالْعَصْرِ, oh, by time, mankind is at a loss, in a loss, in a loss. You should imagine being inside the crusher. Yes?
Does it mean you're constantly losing more and more?
We're going to get to what is khusr and what is khasara and what is khusran inside the surah, because the definition of that loss, what does it actually mean? Is it just Jahannam? Is it that you're losing in every transaction? We're going to get to that specific meaning. But meaning number one of Al-Asr, that you, when we're talking about a loss,
is what images are trapping you in the surah pre-imposed, so that when you imagine wal-asr, you are looking at Jahannam and you're about to enter al-Hutama, and you're coming from al-Qari'ah. So Qari'ah, Judgment Day. Allah is talking about two possibilities in Judgment Day. Aishat al-Radiya and Nar Hamiya. And when the Qari'ah ends Nar Hamiya, it's this severe Nar, like Hamiya, it's like very hot hellfire. What's the translation of the ending of al-Qari'ah in English? Nar al-Hamiya, and then al-Hakum al-Takafir. Qari'ah, so go back from Asr, two surahs.
It is a fire
intensely
hot.
So, I'm going to move you through, again, we're zooming in on the scene and we're closing. So, you're in al-Qari'ah. Allah gives you two options. Isha, good, the good reward, and Nar. Until now, Allah is telling you these are the options. Kind of Yawm al-Qiyam. And then the conclusion of the hellfire, the next surah will be like, Nar al-Hamiya, al-Hakum al-Takafir. So what would get me to hellfire? Allah, the next surah will explain it. What would give me Isha al-Radiya, the good? Surah al-Asr. So, Surah al-Qari'ah will open for us the two journeys. The journey of Jannah and the journey of Jahannam. But Jahannam will come first. And in it you will understand, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. You will see the hellfire. And then, Nar al-Hamiya, this Nar, what would get me there? Be careful of the distraction. In what? At-takathir. Distraction. Al-Hakum. Al-Hakum, the origin of the word Al-Hakum is Lahu. Lahu. There's a surah in Surah Al-Qumman. ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث. There are people that لهو الحديث. One of its translations is all the media, music, like this thing of like numbing yourself, of distractions. And it was used that when the Prophet ﷺ would speak, they bring dancers and musicians and all of that. They bring concerts. SubhanAllah, they're so to distract people from Quran. What would they do? Hey, come and see the dancer. Come and see the singer. Come and see. They run concerts. And lahu al-hadith was this. So Allah says in Surah Al-Hakum al-Takathir, Al-Hakum, origin lahu, the distraction. It's not just a normal distraction. It's a distraction of you wanting more. I want more. I want more. Without understanding your purpose. So you are blindly walking through life. Now I want you to step. I'm going to take another zoom out and a reflection I had this morning. There's a surah called Al-Adiyat. And there's a surah called Al-Fil. Who knows Al-Fil? Where is Al-Fil? Elephant. And a little kid in the back.
Elephant.
Now, my son cannot answer because he cheated today. He knows my answers. You know my answers. Al-Adiyat. In Surah Al-Adiyat, and I'm walking you now. So we have Surah Al-Adiyat, Surah Al-Qari'ah. And then Surah Al-Takathir, then Al-Asr. Al-Adiyat Ibadha. It doesn't point to a certain animal. But what action of the animal is happening?
Racing.
But the Adiyat Ibadha is this intense breathing, and ulama in the tafsir point mainly to the horse. So I want you to think of something. A horse breathing very hard. Allah takes an oath by a horse breathing really hard. And then it will end up being an elephant. And you're like, brother, what is the relationship? Get to the bottom of it. Be patient. So al-adiyat, the process of this animal that's heading into battle, a horse, breathing deeply. Now, adiyat dhabha, I want you to paint, why would Allah take this oath? First of all, you should look up the miracle of a horse breathing, running very fast. It's actually a miracle. In 1 minute, they could ingest between 1,500 liters to 2,200 liters of air through their nose while they're running really fast, and match it with their gallop. So when you read the Quran, you pass by the verse, let's stop. It's an oath, which means it's magnificent. And it has something to do with the surah. So al-Adiyat, when Allah is talking about this, Allah is not talking about the horse, it's the action of the horse breathing. And then what's the one after it? Al-Muriyati? The sparks that the horse is making while running really fast. So you know at night when the horse is running, they spark. If the ground is more friction than the hoof,
It's not the sand that creates the spark. It has to be like a rock. So I want you to imagine heavy breathing and a horse that's giving 100% effort. Even when it's very tired, it's still maintaining its maximum and doesn't slow down. And then it's running really fast and it's creating flames, small sparks from the hooves. And then, so what's in the English translation of the third verse?
And the chargers at dawn.
At dawn. So the horse arrives at a village early morning, like a duha. Remember, the duha, pre-duha, is fajr time. And they arrive in a subh, in the morning, early fajr morning. So what should I start imagining to get an understanding? So Allah will say after that, there's still a few features of the horse of it arriving, and there's in the middle of the battle, and there's dust around it. So Allah's describing this horse in combat. There's someone riding it that we do not see in the surah. It's breathing very heavily. It's ingesting about 2,000 liters of air. If you were to fill tubs, it would be 8 tubs of air in 1 minute. 8 tubs of air in 1 minute. So Allah's taking on. If you understand the machine of breathing of the horse, you'll understand why it's an oath. It's unlike any, and all of this because it cannot easily sweat because of its muscles. It cannot easily pour out sweat, so this is why the horse is not drenching water after it runs really fast. This is the only way so it does not fry. So its brain does not fry. So it's running really hard and giving 100% effort. Any friction, obstacle it meets, it will still persevere. The spark doesn't even stop it from running. And it even will arrive in the time when everyone is sleeping in combat and ghafla, which is a very beautiful word. This is all the hard work the horse is doing. And it will arrive even in the middle of the battle. It will be between the horses and between everyone, and there's no fear in the horse. It will do whatever its rider says. In al insan. After that is what? في خسر يصبر إن سورة العادات إن الإنسان ربه لكنود. How ungrateful is the human. So that is the answer of the qasam of just actions of a horse. كنود إنسان لفي خسر is a part of it. We needed to understand that the last reference of إنسان we see here is كنود. كنود is ungrateful at a high level. But there's a beautiful definition of it, which is this person that when they're given a lot, they talk about what they don't have, the little. So when you are kanud, you have money, you have this, you have that, but you're always unhappy about something. So Allah gives you a view of a horse running. Again, there is one of the tafsirs that have it as ibn, camel. I'm just referencing one example of tafsir. I don't have time to display all tafsir. Okay, so I'm just going with a definition. So this horse that's running really hard, breathing really hard, and serving its master. It is going over obstacles to serve its master. It will arrive at the time of early fajr in the morning to serve its master. It will jump into battle of danger and die for its master. Why are you ungrateful? Why can't you even match the horse in its loyalty to its master? One meaning. Second meaning is you run like the horse without purpose, and you will die for things that don't matter. So there's a dual meaning here. The one, you should save your master and be grateful. Be like a horse. And the other one, do not be like a horse and enter into battle and die for things that don't matter. So now we got the horse. Now you see this view of the battle of the horse. Let's zoom out and go after two surahs after Al-Asr. أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Did you see what Allah did to the people, the fellows of the elephant? So you had horse a few surahs ago, and elephant, and still both are battle. And it almost feels like that inflated ego when you think about elephants in a war. It's almost an Abraha, that war is the year 570 war, and the Prophet ﷺ was born. He was born on the year of the elephant, that battle.
an army with so much ego. We're gonna crush the we're gonna crush Mecca. They're coming up from Yemen with the elephants all the way to the Kaaba to destroy it. How did Allah defeat them with?
Birds.
With birds. So Allah says all this ego, all this rushing. We have the strongest army in the world. Look at our jets. Look at yeah, army birds ended the whole your whole army. Allah just threw some stones on you and you're done with. Yeah, where's the ego coming from? Why were you so happy with yourself? Now you're going to understand why Surah Al-Asr is nested in these two views. The initial view is Qari'ah, Judgment Day. You see Jahannam, you're in the crusher. The other one is this aimless running pursuit of wealth and money and dunya matters. You're like a horse running in battle and you'll die for your master and you have no idea why. You're just doing without thinking. You're a horse. And you will end up at the end of the day dying. You think you're so big, you cannot possibly lose. أيحسب أن ماله أخلده. Does he think his money will make him live forever? Birds will kill him. Just tiniest thing will end that arrogance. So now, all of this so that we can prepare to understand what is Al-Asr. Imam Shafi'i said that if this is the only surah that was revealed, it will be sufficient. That's a very deep statement. When, if a surah that small is sufficient, that would be enough for us to get going. So what is in it that's so important? So Allah says, Wal-Asr. Al-Asr means time. But one thing strange, there are variations of Al-Asr. Like in Surah An-Naba, Al-Mu'sirati Thajjaja. Al-Mu'sirat is the cloud when they squeeze and they let the water out in big number. Also in Surah Yusuf, the dream, one of the guys said, Asir Khamra, that I'm squeezing, juicing Khamra. So it's like a juice. So the word Asara exists in the Quran probably about, I believe, five times it mentioned. The only time it's mentioned as time is in this surah. It will never be mentioned again. So Allah does not reference time as Asr ever again in the Quran, just the surah. So it's unique. And it's an oath. Wal Asr, by time. Why did Allah not use another word that's popular about time? Like, dah. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا أذكورا. Dahr is a popular word for time. Why Asr?
Is it more like about the passage of time than like a fixed moment?
It's about the passage of time, but there's a very beautiful deep meaning. Al-Asr, one of its meaning is time, and one of its also meaning is in Arabic language, if anyone's Arabic here, if I said the word asir, what would it mean?
Juice.
Juice. So what it means is time is running out. It's not just running out, it's squeezing you out. So when we say wal asr, I shouldn't get just the idea of time, but it's almost like time is squeezing out. Time is running out. You are running out of time. So if I ask someone, how old are you? Dar, I will say, this brother is 40 years old. But if I'm thinking Asr, they have 10 years left. It's the opposite. So it's pointing me towards what's running out. But initially, by dictionary, it's meant time. But one of its reflections is this time that's squeezing out of you. So Allah is making an oath that you're losing because time is running out. What else? Inna al-insan. Insan is human. Its origin words is to forget. What are we forgetting? An oath we took with Allah. I believe it's in Surah Al-A'raf. That we took an oath with Allah. Every human on the planet took an oath with Allah. That He's our Lord. Every single human. Because some people will say, I don't know if there's an Allah. I don't know there's a Rabb. Allah said every human took that oath. So why are we called insan? One of its meanings is you forgot the oath. The other meaning is just you forgot. You're forgetful. Most of the time, the word insan, human, has negative connotation. Not genetically. But what you gain in life, so Allah will say things like, in Surah An-Nisa, that He created insan, ضعيف, weak. خطنا الإنسان في كبد. Humans are naturally stressed, worried. One of the things that you could negative connotation إن الإنسان إن خلق هلوعة إذا مسه الشر جزوعة وإذا مسه الخير منوعة. So a human that deviates from Allah. So because some people ask, did Allah create human with bad attributes? That's not the meaning of the verse that I said. The initial meaning is humans have great potential. If they do not connect with Allah, they become halua. They become jazua. They become manua. Jazua, manua, jazua. Like you run out of patience. Problem happens, you give up right away. Manua, you get money, you become stingy. Does that mean you're built like that? No. When you leave Allah, you become manua. This is why a lot of the billionaires, and you always see those rich billionaires are never happy. They want to make this and more money. They have 100 billion. Do you want to make no, I want 200, 300. And this explains why Allah tells us the word insan, when He uses it in this surah, be careful of the negative attributes you're collecting in your life. That it's not that you're built like that. It's that you've earned these through negative interactions. And this is why a human that's attached to Allah, when Allah says in إِلَّا الْمُصَلِينَ, except those who pray, those who are connected to Allah, they don't have these two attributes. So is this something doomed in me as a human? No, you've earned it. So Allah says the idea that you're insan, a human, the English word for insan, man, it's man and women both. I don't believe even the Quran has the word insana because some people use that word. It's not even an Arabic word, a female male or a female human, but it's insan. That's the idea of us, we're insan. So the origin was said forgetfulness. But in it are, Allah will always use words you came from, dust, turab. Surah Ar-Rahman, خلق الإنسان من صلصال كالفخار, from this clay, from this dirt, you cannot even be reused again. It's a one-time thing. Or from this liquid that man have. Like this origin of human word points to you to be careful of things that can go wrong with humans more than it is greatness. So, what else? By time. Allah takes an oath. Humans, إن الإنسان لفي خسر, are in a in في خسر. This loss, there's a dual meaning. Loss, you could end up in Jahannam. There's another word, like Surah Nuh, khasara, and it has an extra man. And it's always given khasara to an increase in loss. An increase in loss. So khasara. Khusran is the worst kind of loss. It comes, khusran mubin, once in the Quran, I believe, khusran comes, I believe it's once. And khusran is this big loss. So is khusr in this surah the biggest loss of word we see in the Quran? No. It is one, that word khusr does not mean the ultimate loss. It means you are at a loss. Now comes the question. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. So humans, or mankind is verily at a loss or in a loss. I like in, fi, because it describes in the next surah, فِي الْخُطَمَ, in the crusher. So you have to be careful. Then Allah will open up four attributes. إِلَّا, let's try to read them together. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Four attributes, so you do not lose. So you're losing. You're in a state of loss if you're not doing these four things. Now, one of the questions is, why do certain surahs say إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ only, and they don't have the other two that we heard, تَوَاصَ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَ بِالصَّبْرِ. Why certain surahs, like for example, Surah 15, it would say وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَالطُّورِ سِينَ, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Humans were created in the best form. The creation is in the best form. Now humans abuse it is a different story. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَمْ أَجْرُ غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. There's no, the extra two descriptions weren't given here, we're going to explain that. So why does Allah in this surah, and that's the only place He'll give the description, the four descriptions of not losing? I don't want to be a loser. So how do I save myself? These four attributes have a view. Amanu, to believe. One of the origins of the world, the word amanu, aman, is safety. Safety from a tongue, safety from hurting others, safety. There's amn ila fi quraish ila fi rihlat ash-shams wa sayf alladhi wa taman ju' wa amanahu min khawf. So in the word, origin words of believing has also in it safety, to be safe. You are also safe with Allah. You're safe from other. You should think when you say believe, because the English word makes it just spiritual. But the Arabic word amanu, to believe, has this safety. So amanu. And then wa'amilu salihat. They do good, righteous deeds. These are two internal matters. Then you're going to go social. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّلَةِ. So the first two, you're internally, one is you're internally in your heart, iman. And then because you have iman, you are doing righteous deed external to you. So, but they're both personal, in and out. And then two, social. تَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. They advise one another on truth. This is a very big lacking thing in Muslim community. I say تَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ is a very difficult thing in Muslim community. Which means people, two Muslims could tell each other the truth and it doesn't lead to a blow up.
Yeah,
it's solid, but it's not a blow up. And then Allah will repeat, and they advise each other, they advise one another on patience. Notice how Allah did not say tawassaw bil haqq wassaw. Aw bil haqq wa bissaw. He gave tawassaw to advise one another haqq and gave it its full. And then وَتَوَاصَوْ, he could have put it together, but then you would have thought truth and patience have to be combined. No, they're independent plus combined. They're both. So it gives you all the permutations. You have to advise one another on the truth, because that's how an ummah grows. And you have to advise one another to be patient. Now these four attributes save you. But why is it when I read the Qur'an, I see sometimes believe and doing righteous good deeds, and I don't see haqq and patience, truth and patience elsewhere. I want to point to you, there's a very beautiful scholar that covered this, Tufadl al-Samarawi. And he said, if you go to Surah At-Teen, you'll notice he said, Asfal Safirin. There are two translations to this. You return to the worst in your age, but one of them is the lowest level in Jahannam. What would it take you to escape the lowest level of Jahannam? Amanu wa amilu salihah. That's what saves you from the lowest of the lowest. But if you do the other two, you're increasing your rank in Jannah and you're decreasing your loss. You're decreasing your loss. So just to get out of the bottom of Jahannam and just to enter the good reward, to get the minimum, you need amanu wa amilu salihah, to believe and do the good. Half of the game. What if I don't do the other half? You're in a state of loss. Because you could have gotten more jannah. You could have gotten higher. But let's say someone says, oh, I could have said the truth today, but I bit my tongue. You've lost a transaction. It's a loss, even for a believer. Why? Because you have now probably less level in jannah. You could have been patient, but you're impatient. And it's embedded in the word insan, human, that we're impatient. So patience is the cure. So when you choose not to be with Allah, you don't understand patience. So you're always in a rush. And Islam comes, our beautiful religion slows us down. So now you get to see. Allah will say, the oath, yes, go ahead. To forget. Nes. No, one of its attributes, like that humans are impatient. It's an earned attribute. It's an earned attribute. You go to dunya, you choose not to be with Allah, you rush. You choose not to be Allah, you despair. You choose not to be with Allah. When you go, this is actually, it explains one of the things, you know, when scientists were like, yeah, Allah, we've discovered mental health. What they've discovered is what happens when humans are not with Allah. It's like genius. This is in the Quran 1400 years ago. Allah has said, if you do not come close to Allah, that vacuum is you despair. That's why it's harder for a believer to commit suicide. It's easy for a non-believer to commit suicide. Because you're... one of the things that people don't understand is when you do not mention Allah, a shaitan is attached to you. So some people that say, I can go through life. There used to be this view, one of the guys used to tell me, he's like, I'm a moderate Muslim. I'm like, well, what does that mean? He's like, I don't drink or do any of the big haram stuff, but I don't pray. Like, as if this is the middle. Like I don't do none of the haram, but I don't do any of the halal. But that is with shaitan. Why? Because you're not mentioning Allah. Nuqayyidu lahu shaitan. This is, the verse says that. That if you abandon the mention of Allah, if you do not think of Allah, if you're not aware of Him, that state, that other state, the alternate state is shaitan. And this is why when people say, you know, look at the UN Charter of Human Rights and Values and how amazing it is. It doesn't matter what you have written as a law. Can you spiritually do it? You notice they have the best laws, for example, the UN, but they cannot call for it when they see a genocide. Why? Mahu shaitan displaces when you do not mention Allah. You have to understand it's like binary, zero or one. For those coders who used to play back in the day. Binary. You're either mentioning Allah, so you're in a state of closeness, or when you don't, this is why people feel dull when they're like, sometimes you'll get a complaint like, I feel not there. Not there. What is not there? Shaitan is attached to you. He's slowing you down. You feel weighed down. That is actually the state. So let me take a pause. Any questions so far before I continue? Any question? Any question? Yes, in the back. Yes. It's a two-way street. And I want to say something beautiful from this point. But which one came first? Haq or sub? Haq. Haq is true. We need to be patient on the truth. Because many times in the community, like let's say someone will know there's a family member that did something haram. Or they're abusive. Or there's something. So they'll be like, remain patient, brother. You cannot be remaining patient on falsehood. You remain patient on truth. Because when you say the truth, when you're going to deliver feedback, that might not... Again, we deliver haq in the best... الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You command good with good. So the idea of truth isn't like, brother, you're careful, you're going to hell right now! Right now, this is the truth! That's not truth. This is abuse. But commanding good, commanding good, al-amru bil-ma'ruf, bil-ma'ruf. Commanding good with good. Not bil-munkar. So when we, but there is a point, even if you did amru bil-ma'ruf, amru bil-ma'ruf, if you do that, you're going to have to face the consequences. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded good with all kindness, and they still went at it. So you have to have sabr after. That's why sabr comes after haq. Our community sometimes will put sabr before haq. Sabr is everything. Brother, sister, her husband is beating her up and almost going to kill her. Have sabr. Like, sabr, she's going to die. That's not right. Sabr. No, sabr does not come. When you put sabr and haq like that, you have the cart and the horse behind it. And your aiming blind. So haq, truth, comes before sabr. Because you have sabr on truth. But when people are not, they corruption and everything, they have like have sabr with corruption. You'll notice one of the beautiful things about the story of Musa alayhi salam. One of the worst political systems of the world was the regime of Fir'aun. And you'll notice, Allah does not explicitly tell you this. But you guys notice, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was told to leave Egypt, a man came to him, we have two in Surah Yasin, and one the other surah, I believe, Al-Qasas. The one we have, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ من أقصى المدينة. One جاء من أقصى المدينة رجل. When Allah talked about that يسعى, that pursuit of the man, the سعي, what did that man do? He lived in one of the, he was in a meeting with Fir'aun. He's an Egyptian man. He heard in the meeting, so this is like, think about like a White House meeting where they're talking about their plans. So he's a good man, and he's sitting in the meeting and he hears about the scheme to kill for Musa, alayhi salam. As soon as he heard it, he left and crossed the town. He did a very long journey to tell Musa, alayhi salam, get out as soon as you can. So even when you live in a corrupt system, notice how he heard, the truth is, I need to save Musa. He didn't say, la 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 la, Fir'aun might kill me if he finds out. Notice how even in the most corrupt system on the planet, there's always people doing truth and goodness and having sabr. This could have meant his neck is on the line. But Allah shows you people in the most corrupt political system, even though you do not have much room to help, just that little thing. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and that's why he went out to Madian for 8 to 10 years. It's 10 years. He left at the age of 30. So when that man told him, I'm from Allah, I'm an advisor to you. That's why Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam went to Madian. That advice saved him. So you see how truth, patience can exist in every time. Even when you live in the most corrupt system, does that mean you give up? Did the man talk about immigration or anything? No, he's like, I know a fact, and my job, did Allah say, astaghfirullah, that man leaked something in the meeting, and this is against trust, and he betrayed the trust? No. And no, people don't notice. When you look at the ayah, you have to think about it. There's a meeting, and they're all entrusted not to leak the secret. But what's going on is so evil that the truth is, he needs to save Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. This is one of the most cruel regimes. If he's found out to leak to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he's killed. So he did it in the best possible way. And that's what saved Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's life and sent him to Madian. Any question? There's another hand up and I... Yes? The what?
Jude 6.
What's Jude 6? Yeah. Allah does not jahr. I think the Arabic word is jahr.
Bisu.
Yeah. So again, our every moment presents you an opportunity. Why did I get you the most extreme example of doing the righteous deeds in Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam? A man came. Did Allah give you the name of the man? No, because it doesn't matter. Rajul, he's a man. So it tells you, when you're put in a situation, if someone is doing an evil scheme or a plan, and they say this, it's not trustworthiness to say, brother, go ahead and kill him. I'll keep your secret. That's not truth. And this is even why psychologists will tell you, I will honor everything that you say, but if I find out you're about to kill someone, I'm going to have to tell the police. They do this pre-thing. When you go and speak to any of this, they make you sign something. And it's just to honor, say, yeah, you can tell me whatever you want, but if I find out, yeah, the person's like, yeah, and I'm planning to kill him tomorrow. And the psychologist is like, I've been entrusted, I shouldn't say anything, that's not truth. So Allah defines what truth is, first of all. This is an important thing to understand. And the template tells you, in any condition you're at, whatever can help elevate, remove evilness, and bring goodness, you should do. You should do it. Any situation, even if you're in the meeting with Fir'aun, yes. So now imagine everything we have in life. Stand by the truth. You will have to put up with even Mu'min ala Fir'aun. There's a family member of Fir'aun that after Sayyidina Musa, so Allah exposed it in Egypt, 5 or 6 incidents that led to the collapse of the regime. But Allah will bring it and you don't see them all as a movie together. You read the story and you don't reflect. That man that saved Musa alayhi salam's life was part of the reason why the regime collapsed. Why? He left 10 years, got married, came back, Allah assigned them prophethood, and then he went. Had the man not done it? That was one of the incidents. Another one, a believer from the family of Fir'aun is in a meeting and he Prophet Musa is in a meeting. And Mu'min and Fir'aun, and a family member of Musa alayhi salam, and Fir'aun said, says, let's kill Musa. That's after he came back. So another random, not given name, man Mu'min ala Fir'aun. In a meeting, he'll expose his iman. At that time, so he hid his iman, not because it wasn't wise to say anything. There was no benefit in anyone knowing. But as soon as he found out Fir'aun is planning to kill, he gave the speech of the century to Fir'aun, to everyone, to stop even the effort to try to kill Musa. And that's what saved also Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam after he came back from Madian and he did his grand magic against the magician. So when Allah gives us these templates of people that stand for the truth, notice how they're like that horse, full of courage but with purpose. So you have two options as a believer. You can say, I believe in Islam, I believe in Allah, and remain selfish and be inward looking. Aman wa amal salihat. Or you could be like the people of the Quran. Tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. They had to speak up the truth when the time came and it's right, and they said it in the most beautiful way. When you see the speech of Mu'min ala Fir'aun, when you see his speech, history. Talking about Sayyidina Yusuf, we saw a man like Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam before. Yusuf! And it seemed everyone immediately knew who Sayyidina Yusuf, even though the time in between is said between 200 and 300 years. So he uses history to say, why is Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam strange? We've heard about someone like him before. Yusuf. So these four attributes come, now you're starting to see that, oh my God, when the Quran mentions people, you can see amanu, they believe. They do the right thing. They stick up for the truth, and they, وَتَوَاصَوا بِالصَّبْرِ, whatever impact happens after that, they accept it. You even see it in Mu'min ala Yaseen. The one where the town, there were three messengers. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثِ, there were two, and then Allah added a third messenger. A man came from the furthest part of town. He didn't say, لا, Allah sent three messengers. What do you want me to do, bro? He didn't say that. He said,
I know him too.
Why don't you believe in what they're saying? Let me be a positive reinforcement here. He added to the, he didn't try to replace the messenger, but he went in to help Sa'i. This concept of you have to be out there. He spoke the truth. What did the town do? Kill him. He said the truth. And he had sabr. Even when he, Allah talks about him entering Jannah, he said what? Ya layta what? I wish my people knew. He had sabr even when he entered Jannah. He didn't say, oh, what revenge against these people, burn that town down, they killed me. He didn't. He said, I wish my people knew about this. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, they believe. عَمَلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ, they do the righteous good deeds. تَوَاصَوا بِالْحَقِّ, they advise one another on the truth. And this is why it's beautiful. If you see me make a mistake, correct me. As far as تَوَاصَوا بِالْحَقِّ. Some people, I was embarrassed to tell you wrong. No, correct. If I'm wrong, correct. How am I going to grow? It's a two-way street. It's not, because sometimes people think about it as a president to a citizen. Or no, it's a two-way street. It's anyone to anyone in the best possible format, in the kindest, al-amru bil-ma'ruf bil-ma'ruf. You command good with good. If you do that, now if you see someone say, you tell them the truth, and they overreact bad, give them time. Maybe they just overreact. And you'll, most people you'll find, after they calm down, everything's good. So have patience. Like some people will be like, I told them the truth, and they yelled at me, and they call me names, I'm never going to tell them again. Well, did you say the truth to please yourself or to please Allah? To please Allah, be patient. You see the connection? Because some people will take the feedback of people as a sign, I'm never going to do it again. Then your measurement stick is people, not Allah. Allah says be patient. Patient about what? Some people are going to overreact. Some people are very, take some time to tone down, to calm down. I've had in many incidents of conflict, the people are like, brother, you're not fair. You're going to Jahannam. You should never. After having Assalamu alaikum, brother, sorry about that. I just blew up. And it was, yeah, it's just normal, guys. It's humans. And that's why it's called insan. If you feel that, you'll understand compassion. They might have earned negative attributes. It's not a permanent state because some people take the worst part of a human as indicative of everything about them. You did that one mistake, you're a horrible human. Who said? Allah forgives. So why don't we forgive each other? And this is why everything is a loss except. So let's inshallah wrap up and conclude, and we'll ask questions after if you have. Number one, what is asr? Time. And it's squeezing out. It's running out. So Allah's telling you, watch the shot clock every moment. You're not expending with these four attributes, you're losing. So if you did, I do believe, brother, and I do good things. But I do not do tawassul bil haqq. I don't advise on the truth. You're losing part of your rewards that you could have got. That's why when you arrive here on the Qiyamah, when you're reviewing all these four levers. What did I not do? I wish I was patient. I wish I was patient with my parents. I wish I was patient with my spouse. I wish I was patient with my kids. I wish I was on the truth when at work I should have said it. All these are your losses that show up. And this is why the highest level of Jannah is when you maximize the four. So I didn't do one of them properly. This doesn't mean Jahannam. But you're losing. Because Jannah is 100 levels. So you could have done more tawassul bil haqq, tawassul bil sabr, you've been for those. You reduced, you went to level 80. Some people are like level 1. أَمَنُوا عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ And they're just barely level 1, just getting. So Allah is telling you, why do you accept this loss? Why? And this, subhanAllah, the surah doesn't say, here are the winners. It's telling you, everything a loss, it's exclusion. It's population by exclusion. Everything is a loss except, so that, because I always get this question also after, is like, what about a person that did good? They're always on the truth, brother, and I see them even in progress. And they have sabr, but they do not believe. Taqwa is a condition. Amanu amilu salihat is internal, important for this. So please remember, whenever you take any action, am I trying? And remember, tawassul bil haqq is a difficult one, because some people can't wait. They're like, oh, tawassul bil haqq, I'm going to take my revenge on everyone. It's not a revenge game, the truth. You say the truth. You know damage might happen after it, but you leave it. Leave them a while, come back, you'll see, they'll cool down, inshallah. What if they never cool down?
Guys, don't go here.
You're going to have stuck here. You can't. What if something bad happens? So. The whole formula is the formula of success in Islam. So, khus, losing. This is a state of loss. State of loss. Like, it doesn't mean just Jahannam. It could be meaning, also in any of the levers, you didn't do them, you just lost degrees. So, the ultimate is Jahannam. Because it's trapped and nested between, we said, the two scenes. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ You see the Jahannam. And then, you're inside the hutama. Allah has said you're inside the crusher now. And you need to remember this, Surah Al-Asr, the best way to get khushu' is when someone says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ The scene should be, الْقَارِعَةِ I'm, مَا أَدْرَكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةِ What is this
قَارِعَةِ؟
مَا الْقَارِعَةِ؟ مَا أَدْرَكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةِ And this nar, Hamid, this intense Jahannam, I see it. I'm going to end in the crusher. That's لَفِي خُسْرٍ So Allah is telling you, why would you take that risk? When all you have to do is just these four things, and they're simple. They're not like complex. And many people think in Hidayah, Iman, because some people like to complicate Islam. Like, Iman is about knowing every single ayah and hadith. And I sometimes see people with so much knowledge and very poor execution Islam. Why? Because if you look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, his first week of Islam, you'll understand Iman. He was getting people into Islam. Sayyidina Khadija is one of the best, radiallahu anha, is one of the best four women to come on the planet, right? Who's going to help you with the four? Fatima? Sayyidina Fatima, radiallahu anha. Asya? And we said Khadija? And? The mother of Sayyidina Isa? Maryam. So, Maryam. Notice how Sayyidina Khadija passed away and went, which, did she die in Medina or Mecca? Mecca. How many pages of the Quran are there? How many of, so the Meccan surahs, if we're going to go by, what, 200 something pages? So did she die when the Quran was complete? But she was one of the best four women. Matter of fact, the praying five times a day, the fasting of Ramadan. All this happened when? Medina. Guys, Iman is about effort. Which means many people think it's about, if I complete the knowledge, I will be a better Muslim. No. Just keep doing good deeds. Get knowledge and do. This idea, I will complete all this knowledge and then do, or I'm going to live till my eldest, then do Hajj. No, I always encourage, go Hajj when you're young. It's not for retirement, Hajj. It's not a retirement. Because you get to make your du'as when you're young, at minimum. Not, that's not the purpose of Hajj. But I'm just saying, so because some people are like, well, I want Allah to forgive me when I'm older. Yeah, Allah forgives you in every spot, but do the five pillars as early as you can. I always encourage brothers and sisters, go to Hajj. If you can't, go to Umrah. Do it earlier. It is highly advisable. It's, even the concept of Hidayah, one of its meanings is a rock in the middle of the sea. The idea of Hidayah, the guidance. Which means what? It's clear. It's not something hidden, it's obvious. So many people think of Iman as this complex aura of like smoke and bukhur. And it's continuous sa'i. This man came from the meeting of Fir'aun, wanted help. This man was in the meeting, got up, I'm going to help. This continuous fa'amma man a'qa, to serve, is that, the giving, that idea to give, is what Iman is about. Yes, you have to have knowledge. Yes, you have to know your aqidah. Yes. But some people love to make it about small details. You didn't know this. I mean, you might go to Jahannam. Like, I got you. Brothers, sisters, Allah, Islam got people to work in week one. Got people in Jannah before even Surah Al-Baqarah got revealed. People were going to Jannah without even living in Medina. So why do people complicate Islam? And I don't mean this to belittle anything. I'm just saying, our deen, do good deeds. Help orphans, help one. I'll take a pause here. Any questions about the surah that you have? Anything that you feel is unclear about the oath and the answer of the oath? Any questions? Feel free if you have any questions. Yes?
What are the differences of each stage of the Jannah?
Allah, what are the differences between the stages in the Jannah?
You stay here, okay?
First of all, the highest we want to is to be with the Prophet ﷺ. And you should aim for the highest. I would say if you have a dream, and I love this question when it comes from young people. I love this question. Aim for the highest level in Jannah. Some people live their life in minimalism. Brother, I just want to enter Jannah. I'm fine. But one of the big regrets is, what are you trading off? 80 years in dunya? For the highest level in Jannah. So if your test is hard and severe, put it in your hasanat and put the intention for Jannah to those. And that's the highest level. As your hasanat decrease, and the net hasanat to this decreases, you reduce your level in Jannah. The last person coming out of Jahannam, entering Jannah, will have multiplied the richest person of the world. So the worst degree man in the world that will come out of Jahannam, this person must have done a lot of bad things. That will enter Jannah has way more than the rich people of the richest person in the history of the world. So that's the lowest. In between that, it's you and your effort. So what should you do? Pray more. Help more poor people. Help orphans. Serve the community. This increases your level in Jannah. Do not, the loss is when you keep, like, I'm not going to see the truth. I am not going to be patient. I'm going to lose my anger quick. I'm going to, you go down, 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 down. So losing has two meanings. We said, number one, Jahannam, the Hutama. Number two is that the loss of degrees in Jannah. Any other question? Yes? Yes.
So it's kind of like an analogy to ease after a long difficulty. How does one have
beautiful question. So there's a beautiful scholar tadabbur about this. There's a surah called Fajr. So the question, oh sorry for the sisters upstairs, I forgot that. So the question is, we learned last week of duha, that morning light. And now al-asr, and one of its meanings is salat al-asr, the time of salat al-asr, the hours. The main one is time, but asr. How does duha and asr and all of that come? So in surah Fajr, which people came mentioned? Ramadan? Which people are these? Which tribe? Type of? Tribe of? Surat Fajr is the tribe, discusses a group of people. They have these beautiful long pillars. The people of? Aad. Aad. And then was Shams wa Duhaha. Not Surat al-Duhaha. There's another Surah, Surat al-Shams. Ash-Shams wa Duhaha. Mentions a prophet. Or the people of a prophet. What is the people mentioned? What is the name of the group mentioned in Surah? Ash-Shams wa Duhaha. The Duha time. Allahu Akbar! The youngest person in the room. How old are you?
Four.
And he said Thamud, Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
So the people of Thamud is mentioned in Shams wa Duhaha. And it's mentioned that Al-Asr is the time of the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's almost like, that's one of the tadabburs, and the if you want to review that, it's Fadl al-Samarra'i that came up with this tadabbur of the sequencing of the oath of time and the age of the tribe, Ad, Thamud. Most of them are in Arabia, by the way. They're Ad, towards the Yemen area, Thamud, near Medina, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The hadith he uses about the Ummah of Muhammad, that Asr and Maghrib, I have never seen it to be strong, so I cannot verify it. But that's one of the tadabbur of the oath of time. Why did that sequence in time when we map it to the Prophet's timelines? Any other questions? Yes.
Since we're talking about Haqq, I'm wondering.
Yes.
What are the conditions in which Haqq need to be delivered? So the message need to be delivered in a certain way, because if somebody come to me and it's like there's 10 people sitting around, I will feel embarrassed if the message is not delivered in the right way.
Beautiful question. I'll repeat the question. How should we be delivering the truth? Like, let's say we're sitting right now here and someone's like, brother, you're going to hellfire. Let's say it's true and it's truth. Is that a good way of delivering? And our ulama gave us al-amr bil-ma'ruf, bil-ma'ruf. You command good with the good. In between a conversation between Muslims and Christians, Allah says, وَخَطِبُهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. So even when you're speaking to people of Christianity or people of the book or Jews, you do it in the ahsan. So if you have two ways to say something, say it in the better way. And that's not even Muslim. So imagine your role to Muslim to Muslim. So when you're dealing with non, you have to find the best possible way to say something. That's our minimum. So should I do it in public or private? 100% start in private. And you'll notice that all the advices of truth, unless it's consequential, like Fir'aun and that, is always a one-on-one session. And even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advice, it's not in front of people to embarrass. The goal of the truth is, even do it number one in privately, and do it in the best possible way. Do not start your message, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I know better Qur'an than you and tafsir than you. You're heading straight to hellfire, brother, I'm just warning you. Some people like the scary intro. To establish dominance. The idea is, brother, my advice is, I think it's the better path to take his ex and do it in private, or sister. That allows them to go, and then let's say they're like, I'm never like that. I'm this. Do not inflame it by saying, nah, I'm going to want to up you in truth. You think I'm going to leave it like that? Give him time. Let him see it in. Humans have a difficult time taking truth. And this is why tawassul bilhaq is a group exercise. It's a two-way, you know, brother, the way you told it to me is a bit hurtful. Okay, how can I fix that? So now you have to accept that you could have done it better. See how the truth feeds truth. Yes?
The thing is, like, even if you're giving someone some message, you don't know if they're, like, better off than you. Like, they might be more on the path that you could be wrong.
They will correct you back. And truth will be a two-way street. So let's say you give an advice and you were wrong. Part of truth is, you give it and you accept it. So let's say you came and said, I think the meaning of Asr is juice. And I think, brother, I'll say in the book of Lisan al-Arab, the definition in the dictionary shows all these alternatives, and he points, the author, that al-Asr is time. I can send you the PDF if you want to check it. So you might have said something. My response is also truth. Truth is a two-way street. We don't deliver it. It's not a one-way street. It's a conversation. And the way Allah wants your ears, that's why Allah gave us two ears and one mouth. That we're receivers of truth. And that's why Allah gave you two eyes. To observe and learn. So we are learning species. We are not we tend to think of truth as, because I know all the truth, therefore I will deliver it. But it's a reception more than it is a giving of advice. So the community should open its heart is, why is it very hard to also help? Because you have to reduce your defensive mechanisms. It's the hardest thing to do. And even in spouses, you know, some people take my advice and be like, yeah, I'm going to go tell my wife all the truth. And then they come back to me, brother, I'm divorcing now because of what you just said. Brother, we're not using this to have civil wars. And sisters, the idea is some people say, it's as if jihad. Let's go and beat up. That's not the goal. The goal is this kind way of advancing the community. If you don't do it, we will never advance. And this is why people that say, there are a lot of people that love to promote in Islam that do not advise the leader ever. Okay? You should always advise the leader, but begin in private. So even if some people say, we should never have a relationship with politicians, you should have. But when you advise them, don't do it in front of 1,000 people. Do it one-to-one. Be like, hey, this is where our community stands on this topic. They get offended when you talk to them. It's okay. Don't talk to them, they're bad, evil people. Don't say that. If Allah told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam to go and advise Fir'aun, who are you to reduce other people to make them worse than Fir'aun? And this gives hope to the whole ummah. Anyone can change. Anyone can improve. Cool? Any other questions? Feel free if you have any questions. Yes, in the back.
What's the contrast of the Surah Al-Asr and the timing of the Asr prayer? Is there like a contrast or is there
what is the relationship between the Asr prayer and the idea, the Surah? It's similar to the answer to when we talked about is they believe in the stages of the life of the Ummah. It's as if night is the end of the Ummah, it's over, and like beginning Maghrib, and it's as if Fajr, and I revert this back to Dr. Fadl al-Samarra'i, Fajr is the one of the earliest civilization, and then after that came Thamud, and it's Duha, that morning light till noon, till the peak of the sun, and then Asr is the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummah till Judgment Day. This is one of the reflections on it. I'm just saying this, I did fact check it. I cannot come up with the hadith that was mentioned as authentic. So I'm saying it to you as a reflection. But is this an opinion where you have to take and say, I looked at the hadith and you're going straight to Ali Yusuf mentioned? I'm just giving you the fact checking. So that's why the Asr, it's as if it's the time of Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the moment he came, all the way till the night will begin. Any other questions? Yes? When was the why was the surah revealed? I don't have an answer on why was it revealed.
That puppy.
I don't have an answer. I'll get you an answer.
That puppy.
It's a good question. Why was it revealed? And I should have covered it, to be honest. Any other questions? Feel free.
I think that thing was
yes.
Duha.
Yes.
Allah told him that he didn't abandon you.
Yes.
Sophia,
so,
she just
like when I read this surah, I like try to think that it's
also
for me.
100%. Yes.
But like sometimes I feel like okay, I'm not actually that in that level where I'm like not gonna.
It's a beautiful question. How do we know in Surah Al-Duha? We know the main audience of Surah Al-Duha is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah does not abandon you and does not despise you, or does not hate you, one of the translations. So how do we take that? Can we put it upon ourselves? The real question is, do we do the things the Prophet ﷺ does? So the idea of Allah hating humans in general is not, because some people say Allah abandoned humans. Well, the name Rahman in Surah Al-Fatiha and Rahim. Rahman is a mercy that is for all of mankind. So Allah gives everyone the ability to breathe, the ability to have heartbeats, and all that. So there's a rahmah that's always going. So the idea of abandoning the Prophet ﷺ, the first question is he abandoning you from guidance, spirituality, or is he abandoning you like he threw you and killed you? Your biggest danger as a human is to die, not in a state of Islam. It's the number one risk. The biggest crime in all of mankind, the biggest crime is not killing and all that. That's the kabair, yes. You cannot kill. You no zina, no drinking alcohol. But what is the biggest crime? Shirk. And many people belittle that shirk. Like, I remember one of the questions that came to me, like, brother, you set an example, a nurse that helps, and she's really kind and sweet, but she doesn't believe. Like, how could she go to hellfire? It's because we misunderstand that if Allah gave you all this rahmah, all these beautiful things, why would you reject Allah? It's the opposite. It's the evidence, the onus is not on Allah, the onus is on humans to say, I believe in Allah because He gave me all these things. Remember, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ. Kanood is, you have all these great things and you don't see them. And this is why when you start the Quran, you say, Alhamdu lillah. Why? I'm self-aware. I'm aware that Allah gave me a lot of things. I praise Allah and I thank Him that He gave me a lot of things. So, the two states that you need to know is, Allah always gives every human, even cats and dogs and animals, rahmah. When you see a cat with another kitten, and just that, that's rahmah. So Allah did not abandon the planet. But the question is, did Allah abandon the messenger from sending him the message? So the question is, how do you know that part? Which is, did Allah abandon me spiritually? Like, He gave up on my guidance. The best way to answer that is, when something bad happens to you, do you go back to Allah? Because in Surah Tunis, Allah says, إِذَا مَسَّهُ الدُّرْ, when harm afflicts him, and then he worships, da'a, like he makes a du'a. And Allah gives him, Allah says, He's the one that forgets me. So when Allah gives you good, or saves you from a situation, do you forget Allah? That's the hardest question to answer. So how do we maintain a positive relationship that Allah does not abandon us? We thank Allah for the gifts He gave us. When we go through trouble and Allah saves us, write it down. Write it down. Like, I don't want to be from those who abandon Allah. The idea of Allah abandoning us, the risk is opposite. We abandon Allah. So always measure in every transaction that happened. You went through a problem, go back to Allah. You had a family issue, go back to Allah. You had a very big family drama, go back to Allah. As long as this is what's happening, alhamdulillah. Allah doesn't abandon. When you take a step towards Allah, Allah takes many steps towards you. And that's how you know that Allah does not abandon you. So the question is, did you take a step to Allah? Have full confidence in sincerity, as long as you're sincere to Allah. Never feel the abandonment as long as you're taking one step, inshallah. Any other questions? I know we're about to conclude. Any one last one? So I ask Allah to forgive me if I've wronged anyone, and brother, sometimes I get too passionate, so I apologize if I was just like, sometimes Surah Al-Asr gets me very spiced up. If I've wronged anyone, I ask you to forgive me, inshallah.